And here is Senator Richard Burr from Washington this morning. Senator Burr, good morning.
Good morning, guys. It's a cold day in Washington.
Well, then let me get to the hard question right up front here. Just what is the recommended porta-potty to attendee ratio for the city of Washington, D.C. for next week's inauguration? We hear there's a crisis about to occur. You're going to have a sanitation crisis. And what the hell's going to happen up there next week?
Nobody knows. I mean, that's the incredible thing, is that we're this far into it, and Washington has no idea how many people, how many buses. And I can only tell you this from a porta potty report, is that the lion's share of those ticketed individuals to see the inauguration are in the standing section. Yeah. And there is no porta potty for any of the standing section.
Isn't this an emergency situation, sir?
It's an incredible opportunity for bad things to happen.
Oh, Lord.
I learned two things this morning, though, that were shocking as I was listening to the news and sports wrap-up.
Yes.
Never dreamed I would hear Carolina last in the conference.
I know that breaks your heart.
On the same day that the Bobcats won. So,
Well, things change. Let me get a little bit serious here for just a moment. And we said we would take some phone calls from listeners, if that's okay with you here in the next few minutes. 866-482-1011. Why do you think that Congress right now is held in such low esteem across the board? Is it just things are the same as they've always been, but we pay closer attention to it, and we have bloggers, and we have a media that is so fractured and takes sides and all that? Or are things different now?
I think that contributes to the broad-based opinions of more of the American people. But I would tell you that it's focused on two things. One, we've proven an inability to do big things, we Congress. And I think that that's driven based upon the needs of the next election cycle, because a third of the Senate's up, all of the House is up. And typically, it's only that first 2 years of the presidency that they're not focused on the election cycle or their party. They're focused on launching up campaign promises. And listen, it's fair for people to take that shot at us, because the second piece is the American people are hurting. The economic crisis has impacted them in ways that they're either unemployed or they're scared about their jobs. We have seen over the past 2 years a significant increase in the cost of raising a family, and it's in groceries and it's in gas. So the American people are uncomfortable with what Congress either has done or has not done. And I think that's what precipitates the 9% ratings, and for a guy like Harry Reid as majority leader and the architect of what goes on in the Senate, I think his numbers now are at 6%.
You were able to meet and to work with the president-elect some when you were in the Senate. How closely did you work with President-elect Obama?
Well, we started next door to each other for the 3 months that we were in temporary offices. We are good friends. I think we sponsored the first bill together that he actually worked on, a genomics bill. He called last week, most recently. We chatted for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I think that this president has done a superb job of most of the picks that he's made as far as nominees at the secretary level. It will get tougher when we get to assistant and deputy secretaries, but he's responded in a way that I thought he would, and I think this is a legislator who will be president next week that plans on attempting to do big things, and if he stays in that focus, he'll be popular with the American people, but he will also be popular with some of us up in Congress.
He has shown this ability to reach across the aisle, yes?
Oh, absolutely, because there are many things that he will be accused of, I'm sure, over his life in the White House. Recognizing the fact that Congress is instrumental in legislation finding its way to his desk, he understands that.
Could that be an advantage of coming out of the Senate to be president? You know, we've heard for conventional wisdom has been, you know, we have to elect governors. They're the only ones with executive experience. You know, with senators and congressmen, they never make it to president because they just don't know how to run anything. Are you alluding to the fact that this might be an advantage for him?
Well, I think it will be an advantage based upon where the American people are, and that's they want to see real solutions to health care, real solutions to energy policy, real solutions to education. You know, this is the first generation that will have less people graduating high school with a high school diploma than their parents. Mm. Now, it's a complete reversal for higher education, but the expectations to graduate are lower for a K through 12 student today than it was for their parents. And that's incredible, and it's something that we've got to turn around if, in fact, we want to be competitive in the future.
Well, it's interesting because you saw what just happened to Elizabeth Dole. She was beaten, and North Carolina is a bluer state than it was even than when you were elected some 4 years ago. You got to be thinking right now, when you're less than 2 years away from re-election, we assume you would be running. How is your thinking right now in that area?
Well, let me just say I am running. I don't believe that you go out and go through some orchestrated presentation on it, but make no mistake, I am running. And my theory is if you do your job, North Carolina has proved historically that they reward people that do their job and do it effectively. I'm willing to be judged based upon that, and I don't think that, one, there is a trend. I think the last election cycle was more about an individual, and I think when we went to the special election in Georgia, it proved that it was more about the individual that was running for president than any significant change in southern states or New England or the Midwest. And I think as we go into next year, you'll see a voting pattern that's more historical for North Carolina, and if I'm allowed to be fairly judged, then that's the only thing I can ask for on election day.
But there was a lot of straight ticket voting, and if you would have been on the ballot this time, you may have been caught right in the steamroller of that, and you could be the one who would be packing up their office now.
Yeah, and I think the difference is were I up for re-election this past November, I would have probably spent a much greater time focused on inviting people to become Republicans that were unaffiliated or new voters than the effort that I think was made either by candidates or by the party. And I think that's one big change that at least Republicans have to make is that we have to actually invite people to become Republicans. And that means telling them what Republicans stand for. What a novel thing that might be.
We're talking to Senator Richard Burr on the Brad and Britt Show on FM Talk 101.1 WZTK. Let me give out the phone number again. It's 866-482-1011, 866-482-1011. Before we get to that call for you, I do want to ask you, and you brought this up, when we talk about fixing the Republican Party, okay, are we talking about major surgery or are we talking about nips and tucks?
Well, no, I think we haven't done a good job of reminding people what the foundation of the Republican Party is, a party of fiscal responsibility, a party of strong national defense. I could sort of go down the litany of it. We lost our identity with the generation that hadn't participated or the new generation, and I think we've got to get back out and begin to market that to some degree. I don't think it's that the party needs to change, but we can't compete if, in fact, we don't show up with a team for the game.
Do you think that the days of the social issues being used by Republicans to win elections around the country, the wedge issues, gays, gods, guns, that kind of stuff, that's over?
Let me answer it in a different way. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. I think it does, and I think it's legitimate for any candidate or party to use those. And it's important to a lot of people out there that they have an opportunity to have candidates that firmly profess where they are on those issues. It's not solely those. And I think that's more indicative of the fact that we've gone through literally the last 14 years that I've been here spending like drunken sailors, not controlling the size of the federal government, but more important than that, not fixing some of the systemic problems that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And what's different is now there are consequences to not doing that. 14 years ago, there might not have been consequences that the American people felt. Today, they feel them. They feel them immediately, and the impact is huge on them.
866-482-1011 for Senator Richard Burr on the phones. We begin with Stephen in Burlington. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Senator Burr. My question was why you chose to vote against the auto bailout, despite knowing that it had a negative impact on the hundreds of dealers across the state.
Sure. Stephen, thanks for the question. And I was in contact with a number of dealers through this. I met with Rick Wagner from General Motors once in my office. I talked to him on the phone three different times. You know, at the end of the day, the challenge is that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler have to change their business model. I didn't feel that the way federal assistance was going to the automobile dealers assured us that the business model would change. I thought prepackaged bankruptcy, where we put a federal backstop on the warranties, where we offered the retail financing needs to the company through GMAC, was a more appropriate role to go. At the end of the day, the president decided to do it out of TARP, which I was vehemently opposed to, because we've now opened the TARP window, not to financial institutions worried about our financial structure in this country, but now we've opened it to a company. So we've basically said to everybody, Walmart, whoever, if you've been adversely affected by the economy, then the federal government is there to bail you out. That's not the case. We don't have the money. And I would have willingly included GMAC in the TARP window to make sure that the retail financing was there for the automobile dealers. At the end of the day, my focus was on how can this be a sustained business for dealers around the country, versus to try to get 6 months of the door being open and then six more months of the door being open. We're not going to get the automobile business back to where it is until we've got the financing in place and until the issue is behind us of the financial health of these companies. And unfortunately, by using TARP money, I think what we've done is put this on the front page of the paper. Every day the question is, will GM make it? Will Chrysler make it? Will Ford make it? And that's not too healthy from a standpoint of a marketing position for the companies.
All right. Next is Mike in Raleigh on FM Talk 101.1 WZTK for Senator Burr. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes, sir. I have a constitutional question, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution says that no senator or representative shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under the authority of the United States, which shall have been created, or the emoluments whereof have been increased during such time. My question is, how is it that Senator Clinton can be appointed Secretary of State when the Constitution forbids it?
Because it's a higher salary? Is that?
are you saying that the office of Secretary of State hasn't had a pay increase since the time that Senator Clinton was elected? I'm pretty sure that they have received a pay increase.
I might have to sit back and parse exactly all the pieces that you talked about, but let me just say this. She has not been appointed to Secretary of State.
Okay.
She's been nominated to be Secretary of State, and before she could be confirmed as the Secretary of State, she would have to resign from the United States Senate.
Well,
and I'm not sure if that handles the technical aspects of what you asked with the Constitution.
Well, it says during the time for which she was elected, So, I mean, whether she quits or not, she's still
been elected for a certain time. Mike, you got to get a life.
Well, I'm just asking
you got to get a life. This has happened before several times in history, and it's been fixed. And it, I'm telling you, honest to God, find something to do with your time.
I thought they decided she was going to take a pay cut, but why don't we go ahead and stick with that question and get to something a little more cogent. What do you think of the nomination of Senator Clinton as Secretary of State? What kind of a job do you think she's going to do, Senator Burr?
She's going to do a great job. She's an extremely smart woman. She probably understands the international landscape as good, if not better, than most people in Washington. I think this was a brilliant pick by the president-elect. She's a controversial individual, and I think that she was asked very appropriate questions relative to her husband's foundation and the cloud that potentially could exist over that. But I will feel very comfortable having Hillary Clinton around the world representing the interest of the United States.
You know, there are just some of your constituents who hear you say that and they just wince. They are convinced that the Clintons, and she was part of that whole cabal, did awful, unspeakable things to the United States of America during his two terms.
Rest assured that I was one of them that voted for the impeachment of President Clinton based upon the charges that were brought in front of us. And so I can understand exactly where they come from, but when you judge a candidate that's been nominated based upon their qualities and what they've done, and you're tasked with the important part of that, which is can they successfully do this job, she comes through with flying colors regardless of what you might think of them or her personally. And I think what the American people will see is a Hillary Clinton that can meet the needs of the role she's been asked to take.
866-482-1011. Real quick comment, please. Your relationship with Kay Hagan.
Listen, I think Kay and I are going to work well together. We've had the opportunity to speak ever since she was elected on the phone. We've had an opportunity to sit down numerous times since she's come to Washington. Listen, this is a difficult time for her. She's gotten her swearing in out of the way. She's still in temporary offices for 3 months. She's trying to assemble a staff. What I'm trying to do is to make sure if we can help in any way, shape, or form, her entry into the Senate to make it smoother, easier, so there are less mistakes. That's what we're here to do. Our staffs have worked very closely together for 2 weeks now, and I think she's a very smart individual, very capable, and I think she will represent North Carolina well.
All right, here is Jeff on FM Talk 101.1 WZTK. Jeff from Reidsville with Senator Richard Burr. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Burr. It's nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Jeff.
I had met you one time before when Fieldcrest Mills was still in business in Eden, but I like you and I like what you're doing. I appreciate it. Look, why isn't there more of a push of getting the tax rates that corporations pay to bring overseas jobs back? I understand it could create up to $1 trillion of new revenue. That's a conservative estimate. And, you know, as far as the lobbyists and everybody else up in Washington being buddy-buddy, why can't we do what needs to be done for the American people?
Jeff's a great question. I think he gets back to what I said early in the show. Washington's been immune to doing big things, and changing tax rates are big things. The United States' second-highest corporate tax rate in the world. We give industries incentives not to locate here, not to create jobs here, to have holding companies outside of the country to make sure that they limit their taxable revenues that are in the United States and leave some of it in Europe and some of it in Asia. We're in a global economy. We've got to rethink exactly how we design this. I shared with the president-elect last week when he called that my thoughts on the stimulus package was that if we would address the corporate tax rate in the stimulus package and reduce it, we would have the greatest stimulative impact of any single thing outside of rebating the American people their 2008 taxes.
Absolutely.
That we've got to make sure that this is not just about addressing pet projects of members of Congress or governors or state legislators or county commissioners. this is about something that that really does achieve broad-based economic stimulus and job and economic activity and job growth. You can't do that without getting into businesses. Jeff, another thing you might think about is if we offered in the stimulus package immediate expensing for all businesses in the United States. In other words, if they bring in new equipment, if they build new plants, if they create new jobs, they can write that expense off of what they've done immediately versus amortize it over some period or depreciate it over some period of time. We've got to get this thing going again, and we got to do it as fast as we can.
Right. Thank you for the call, Jeff. Senator Burr, we got about a minute and a half to go. Talk about the advantage, because I believe it, and Neil Bortz talks about this, and I think he's dead right. Wouldn't it make more sense to move tax money that would have gone to the government over the next 6 months and leave it in the hands of people right now than creating new programs, printing up money out there that's going to get printed up anyway if we don't collect the taxes? Do we need to create new bureaucracies and all that to get this done, or is there a smarter way to do it?
There's a much smarter way to do it, and I would sort of tick down the list. If you want to do something immediately, suspend the payroll tax.
Yeah.
Just do away with the payroll tax for some period of time for all Americans. You're going to leave more money in their pocket. You're going to stimulate economic activity through the American people being consumers. Secondary to that, if you couldn't do that, rebate some portion, if not all, of the 2008 income taxes that people paid. The people that are going to stimulate the economy are the ones that actually paid taxes last year. It's not this is not an economic aid package. This is supposed to be a stimulus package, so you've got to put it where the greatest stimulus effects would be, and that's with the consumers in America.
All right. Senator Burr, we are up against the clock. We are out of time. Can we do this again soon?
I'd love to do it.